I'm Brett Tomlinson from the Princeton Alumni Weekly, and this is The Pawcast, a monthly series in which we interview alumni, faculty, staff, and students about issues that matter to the Princeton community. In college athletics, March is prime time for basketball, and this month we're speaking with two of the central figures in Princeton basketball's recent success, Carla Berube, head coach of the Princeton women, and Mitch Henderson, class of 98, head coach of the Princeton men. Carla and Mitch, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, great to be
Great to be here, Brett.
It's been almost a year since a very memorable March in 2023, and I don't think I have to give too much of a recap for our listeners, but Princeton, of course, hosted the Ivy basketball tournaments for the first time, won the men's and women's titles, earned spots in the NCAA tournament. The women won in the first round for the second year in a row. The men had two wins, reaching the Sweet 16. And remarkably, both of your teams have kind of kept the foot on the gas. You're both at the top of the league again this year. And I guess I'll start with Mitch. How do you think last year, from both the on-court experience and the sort of the excitement of on campus and from alumni, how do you think that's carried over into this season?
I see a direct through line for us. I mean, first, the women's success. We build on that all the time. I'd love our memory of last March here in a couple weeks is just awesome. It was so fun to be, you know, competing together at the same venue, and then also to both be at the selection show kind of about the same time, and then following them in their path. And we have drawn on that throughout the whole season, kind of like, okay, that's our goal. That's where we want to be. And you said foot on the gas. I mean, I did not think for us that we would be kind of where we are. But right from the very beginning, the group has been very focused on our end. And again, we draw very much from what we learned a year ago, and we're hopeful to keep it going along with Carla's team.
And Carla, you've got an amazing group of seniors. You know, they've had careers here that you can only dream of. What is it like to see them, you know, having their last run?
Yeah, I mean, I think the success of a team really has to do with your leadership, and a lot of times it's seniors that just know how to get it done, how to come in every day really focused, you know, get the younger players, you know, playing at a really high level. And yeah, and I was lucky, the you know, with Chet and Caitlin and Ellie, all seniors, you know, they had a lot of experience from last year, and they've, you know, taken the younger players under their wing, and it gave us a really, I think, successful non-conference season, and really kind of just yeah, it carried over into the Ivy League season as well. And yeah, it's a special group of seniors. Ellie Mitchell, this is really her fifth year. She took a gap year during that COVID year, so I've been with her every step of the way since I've been here. And then Caitlin has had a phenomenal career, and Chet has really come on strong this senior year. So it's a fun group to coach, and just at this point you just want to keep it going as long as you can.
And the quality of basketball in the Ivy League, women's and men's, it just seems to be continually going up and up. But it's still a one-bid conference for now, with a few, you know, one exception in 2016 when the Princeton women had an at-large bid. Why do you think it's still a one-bid league, or do you think it's that's about to change or sometime in the near future?
Yeah, well, I hope it's a one-bid league this year. I think Columbia's in the conversation too about getting a bid if an at-large bid, and we certainly are too. So it could end up being that. We just want to take care of ourselves and our business and win that automatic qualifying tournament. But I think, yeah, it's grown so much just in the last couple of years. The Ivy League, there are three teams in the top 100 net. So it's competitive. It's great basketball. A lot of great just players, really skilled, talented players.
And you know the league for a long time, Mitch. Mm-hmm. How does it compare to what you've seen in the past?
The league's as good as it's ever been. And I don't think it's a two-bid league as much as people, you know, there are some possibilities, but We're in the same spot, and the same spot we were in when I was in school. You have to take care of business and get it done. Now you have just one more step further, you know, not just winning the league, but now you need to perform very well in the Ivy League tournament. But I think we understand what we've all signed up for. And the process of getting there and then winning does prepare you very well for the NCAAs.
I wanted to talk with the two of you about your paths to coaching because you have very similar backgrounds. You both played for Hall of Fame coaches in college, Carla with Gino Auriemma, Mitch with Pete Carril, and also 2 years with Bill Carmody. You both got started in coaching pretty much right after you were done playing. You've been around it for some time now, but still have a lot of good years ahead, I think. I like to say that because I'm a little self-serving. I'm about the same age. What was it that got you into coaching in the first place, and you know, what kind of got you hooked?
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with the experience that I had as an undergrad, and I just had a tremendous time at the University of Connecticut, and I had great coaches, I had great mentors and role models, and I played for a very short time right after college, but I just did some volunteering when I was living out in California at Cal Poly, and I caught the bug, and I could see just what kind of, you know, impact you can have on student athletes. And I had mentors that were such a big impact on me that I felt like, you know, I wanted to do the same. And I've loved every bit of it. It's certainly a challenging profession, but it's so rewarding. Just being around the student athletes every day and keeps you young. And the game of basketball is so much fun to teach, to coach, and just watching your players develop as people, as leaders, and help them develop as basketball players. And it's a really rewarding profession, and I'm so glad I'm able to do it and at a place that, you know, I truly believe in. And we have, you know, I came to Princeton because of the values that we have here, and I had them at Tufts during my 17 years there, a place that I really believed in. And so I feel very fortunate to be coaching and coaching here and, at, you know, with the student athletes that I have. And alongside Mitch, too. It's great.
Very similar. I didn't, you know, actually put it all together. But when you brought it up, Brett, it is. I mean, I never saw in myself what others saw in me. But similarly, loved my time as a player and had a terrific playing experience. But then did not want to coach and went to move to California as well and was on to the next spot after I had played for a little bit and was ready to do that and then kept getting phone calls. And then I was lucky, very much like Carla, to have Bill Carmody. He got the Northwestern position and took me on as a young assistant. I didn't know a thing. I thought I knew a lot. I didn't know anything. And I was able to develop there. And also, I'm just, if I could speak to my younger self, I would have like a million things to say. But the main one would be just like, hey, like, just learn. You don't know as much as you think you know. And I'm still learning a ton also from watching Carla and her staff and her team. And I learn stuff from the players every day, all the time. That's the great gift of working here.
How has the job changed in 25 years?
The iPhone. The iPhone's big one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess recruiting has changed a bit, especially, you know, more recently and with NIL and in the landscape of college athletics. And but I think, I mean, I try to stay true to what it's all about. And it's about the experience that your student athletes are having. And I want to make sure that they're coming down to Jadwin every day and enjoying the process and enjoying the tough times and the tough practices and just playing, you know, together and competing and just seeing the fruits of that and their labor. And of course you have to change as a coach. You have to pivot with you know you know, kids are different than they were 20 years ago than they, you know, are today. And I think you have to keep growing. You have to have that growth mindset that you can't be stuck in. You know, when I started, it was the year, I think, 2000 when I became an assistant. So, you know, 24 years later, things are a little different, but you stay true to who you are, and you educate and you teach and you coach, and that's what it's all about.
You said the iPhone. I mean, that's obviously a big part of, you know, modern life. You're on your phone all the time. But how do you get through to students, you know, when, you know, every time you're on a bus trip, they're buried in their phone?
Most of the kids we're recruiting are born in 05, 06. And as much as I enjoy watching a movie on the bus with the guys, now they have something right in their hands, and that's a little bit different. Most of the guys, student-athletes Carl and I recruited, were born in the 80s. We both got started at the year 2000 in coaching. But this is, while that's different, and yes, that's something you have to navigate, there is the charge is the same. To grow and see someone grow over time, be there with them. And then I would say I've learned so much. And I feel that I have changed so much because of the players. You make so many mistakes as a young coach, a head coach in particular. But I'm so appreciative of the lessons that I've learned from the student athletes. And I can't imagine another profession where you're getting that same kind of lesson fed to you daily, intravenously from them.
And what is the coaching lifestyle like? I imagine it can be all-consuming if you want it to be. Do you manage to get breaks? Do you manage to have balance and have, you know, time outside of basketball?
Absolutely. You have to. You know, Mitch and I kind of leave some parallels to our lives that we both have three young kids, and you want to be, you know, present in their lives. And, you know, we want our student athletes to have, you know, a good balance as well. I think we're pretty efficient on the court and efficient with my staff in the office, and let's get the work we need to get done and watch the film we need to, but also, like, let's work out. Let's get outside and get some fresh air, and let's do other things. So I think successful coaches have that balance of life, and that, you know, this basketball in the game, and, you know, you just want to be the best you can be, and it could be all consuming, but I don't think those are the healthiest of coaches.
Well, we both have sons that are older, and, like, my son comes to practice sometimes, and he's teasing with the guys. I'm like, you know how lucky you are, like, you know, to be able to do this. So I think that I've tried to bring the family around as much as possible, and I think that helps me become a little more, and the guys on the team appreciate it, to get to know your family a bit. So, because we are, at the end, you know, if you're just constantly barking orders as the coach, or you're just constantly thinking about basketball, you're just uninteresting to them. And Carl is right. Like, we want them to know that we're interested in who they are all the way around. This is also the most fun part of the season. If we're both in great spots, and we want to keep winning, and it's getting a little more light out when we get done with practice. It's a little bit longer of a day, so the longer you can keep playing in March, the better it is.
The particularly the winter sports, you have a lot of time together as a team where there aren't a lot of other students here. So do you find that is, you know, important to kind of have that family atmosphere within your team to kind of keep everybody together when they don't necessarily have, you know, 4,000 other students roaming the campus?
Yeah, it's a time to just kind of relax a little bit and be together. And, you know, we have the January break where really there's not a lot going on campus. And, you know, we have my team comes over our house, and we have a bake off, and my kids are the ones that are judging the food that they're cooking in our kitchen. And Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a fun time when they can relax a little bit and just play basketball. And, you know, so this, you know, this week they're in midterms, but next week, you know, it's just, you know, spring break, and they can, you know, just have fun playing the game and be really locked in, you know, because there's not a lot of other things going on outside the court. So looking forward to that.
I wanted to ask about the student athlete experience today. A lot of our listeners, a sizable chunk of alumni played a sport, you know, some recently and some longer ago. But I'm curious what you see as the student, what's different about the student athlete experience today versus when you were in school, and also what is going on in their lives that people don't necessarily appreciate?
I would think that alums would be very happy to know that there's still a great deal of rigor in their lives daily. We both have student athletes that are pre-med, engineering, you know, they're sprinting to practice to be there at 4:45. This would resonate with a lot of alums, you know, and that is the challenge that you sign up for when you come to school here, which is you're not going to be just an athlete or just a student. You're signing up to be great at all parts of your lives. And then also, I think that the area in which they would see and say that there could be some improvement is that I think it's a much more user-friendly campus. And that's because we've grown significantly and as a student population just in the last 15 years, but also like there's more eating options. I think we're all, as coaches, just a bit more aware of the rigor of the day and like kind of the challenges that lies therein. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, I want to see smiles on their faces daily. And, you know, you mentioned the winter months, not always the case, but that's our effort and our goal. But I think when you look back on your time as a student athlete, you wear that with pride.
The Ivy League is something of a throwback in that it's a conference that has not changed. It is the same eight teams as it was at its founding. The away games are all bus rides, familiar bus rides to you by now, I'm sure. The league has seen a few players leave through transfer portal, but not nearly what you see in some of the other conferences. These things all seem like these would be good things for coaches. Do the student athletes kind of see it the same way, that kind of stability?
Yeah, I think so. I think our players love this place, and they love playing for Princeton, and so they're not looking to go elsewhere. And I think they truly care that they're developing during their 4 years here in all sorts of ways as basketball players and as people and as students and leaders. And so I think and in the recruiting process, when we're talking to families and to student athletes, I think it's enticing to know that this is a place where you can spend your 4 years here and these will be your teammates and that it's a community. And I think that's always been what Princeton is about, is this like amazing community that you have, you know, during your time here and then for the rest of your life, this place to always, you know, come back to, that you hold so close to your heart. And so I think, yeah, the landscape is so different all over the rest of the country. But there's some just those grassroots that about the Ivy League that remain true. And I think I'm really appreciative of.
How about you? When you recruit, is that something that comes up? You know, you're not going to be getting on a plane every weekend.
It's the strength that you sell. It's this is who we are, and this is what you're going to be when you're a student here, student athlete. I think the value of your relationships with your peers on the team, and then our relationship with the women's team and the other student athletes. It's not just us that's not changing. It's no sports are changing, and so you get this great camaraderie with all the other student athletes, and there's thousands of student athletes. So it's just in a really special, unique situation. One thing that's different is the tournament. When I got to be here, I was told that there would never be a tournament ever. So I don't know, maybe there's some change coming, but like I think for the most part, we're going to do that within the values of the league, which I agree with.
The transfer question comes up all the time. It seems like Princeton Athletics has really not looked to recruit transfers. I don't know if that's kind of a philosophical thing or if it's just the reality of a school that doesn't really accept a lot of transfers. Is that something that you've talked about with the peers in the department?
There are transfers in the league on our side.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Yeah, and you know it's not been something that we've looked to do.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the commitment that we're making to somebody over the four-year process.
Right. But you are seeing it across the league at other schools that there are, there are quite a few transfers in the other Ivy League schools. I agree with Mitch. Like, this is about the first years that we bring in, and we hope that they want to stay for 4 years, and we're not, you know, recruiting someone across the country to take their spot, and you know, it's and to come in for a year or two. It just doesn't really make sense for us. So, we like to develop for 4 years.
And I suppose there's an advantage in continuity too. That if you're trying to build a culture and you're not, well, yes, you're bringing in first year players every year, but trying to kind of pass that down.
Yeah,
I think too. Like, this is way above us. Like, this is a special place, so we're benefiting from, you know, their whole experience here. If we were in a situation where we were having lots of transfers, I mean, that's where everybody else seems to be, but. That's not our model. And, maybe your first year it didn't go so well. There's a huge commitment on our end to make sure that we keep improving, not, hey, see you later. You know, that's not the goal here.
And there are loads of examples. And I think you mentioned Chet earlier as a perfect example of someone whose role has increased over time and has really grown into it. I think of Rich Arirahuzo a few years ago and how far he came. And there's just I would think that as a coach that's tremendously rewarding to see a player take on new roles over time.
Yeah, and Chet's really – she puts the work in. You know, I'm sure Mitch could say, like, he sees her in the gym all the time, watching film, just working with one of my assistants, Lauren Batista, so often because she just wanted to get better and wanted to make an impact on our team. And the fruits of her labor really come to shine, and really proud of her. And that, you know, the student athletes, you know, we have 17 players on our team, and you want those first years or sophomores that maybe haven't gotten as much game time to see that you can put in the time and you can develop and you can make an impact during your 4 years. And so it's really fun to watch, you know, Chet shine now.
Is that something you are bringing up in recruiting? Like, yes, we like you. You're really great at these things, but we think you can be, you know, this much better in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important. I think the student athletes that we want are those that want to get better during their 4 years. Not like I'm coming in and I'm taking over. Like that they see that there's a high ceiling of, you know, their potential, and that, you know, they want us to help them and to coach them and to make them the best players they possibly can be. And we're recruiting, you know, student athletes that want to play at the next level, that want to play professionally. And clearly we've both now coached players that have played at the next level. So, we want players that want to be here at Princeton and want the challenge of this place, that are really driven and that want to get better during the course of their career.
We haven't had many coaches on this podcast, but we spoke with Bob Cerace in the fall, and I ended with this question, so I'm going to adapt it and this for you as well. Most people listening will know you and will know Princeton basketball from the games, the game days. But if you set aside those 30 days a year, what are your favorite days to go to work?
We're both thinking.
Yeah.
So I'll start. The games are I like practices, and the games are fun, but like that's the time. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more stressed out or nervous. I'm having to work on being calm, but I enjoy the days in which I know that everybody on our staffs is going to be bringing their family for some event on campus. Maybe it's a barbecue or holiday party. I then am always reminded of how lucky we are to work at an athletic department that's so collegial and supportive of one another. And we all have young kids. A lot of people have young kids. And so I really love it's such a unique environment, and I feel very fortunate to be part of that.
Yeah, I thought of going to one of Bob Cerise's games, a football game with the family, and sitting out there on a nice fall day, relaxed, just enjoying some football. My wife and I got to take our oldest to one of Mitch's games this year. Went to a Penn game and sat courtside, which was really, really cool to see his guys just right in front of us. And I know that my son would love to one day be a college basketball player. So, there's so many just great days on this campus that so many things that, you know, you can be a part of. And I think we love sports so much that there's amazing athletics and, our squash teams are runners up for the national championship just last weekend. So it's just an amazing athletic department and campus and university, and anything that we can do to have my family on campus and enjoy the fruits of this place is something we really like to do.
Great. Well, thank you both for coming in, and good luck in New York.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
Podcast is a monthly interview program produced by the Princeton Alumni Weekly. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud. You can read transcripts of every episode on our website, paw.princeton.edu. Music for this podcast is licensed from Universal Production Music.